Good morning and welcome. It's wonderful to be in this circle, isn't it? I shall be savouring the view as I welcome you this morning. And the sun is very strong, isn't it beautiful? Hopefully you have your new sheets. There's quite a lot going on, as there is at this time of year. And there's days up towards Christmas. Looking on here, we've got Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. Please come into the church if you have some spare time in your busyness. Between 3:30 and 7 on Monday and 3:30 and 8:30 on Tuesday and Wednesday, we're having a time here of peace, tranquility. There's going to be some poetry being read. There's some beautiful lights. It is a time to come and sit and breathe in and be in the experience of Christmas, the sense of Christmas. Come and see it. And then you can tell your friends about it to come along as well. Time to come and be peaceful. What else have we got? Lots going on. Christmas Day. If you yourself are going to be on your own, or you know of anybody who may be on their own this Christmas, and they would like to come and share a lunch with us, please do come along. It'd be really lovely to have some people here to share lunch and to enjoy that time. Are you coming to say something, Annie, in a minute? All right, you do that bit first. So do you invite people along? What are you pointing towards that we're looking at?
Is that supposed to be Dolly and the Ivy?
Yes, it is.
Dolly and the Ivy is happening on Thursday. It's 7:30.
It's Molly Davis, who often sings for the festival, and she calls herself Dolly Mavis. She's Dolly and the Ivy.
That sounds very joyful as well, isn't it? Amazing. Wonderful. So much is happening, so keep an eye on all of these things which are going on. Annie, please do say if I've forgotten something.
As Paula says, there is a lot going on. And for the best part, it's usually me, Judy and Paula that sets it all up and that gets it all ready. Because of the volume of services and the time scale this year, if you want two exhausted priests and an exhausted server, you can have that, but we really like if you've got any time to give us to help. So Judy has been asking for several weeks now for people to help put Chris Dingles together on Sunday afternoon.
Yes.
Sunday afternoon. If the three of us have to do it, it'll take about 3 hours. If about six of us do it, it'll take about an hour. So please, could somebody come and help with Chris Dingles? That same afternoon and evening, we've got two carol services because we need to be over at Barford at 4, but there's one here at 6, for which you'll remember there's candles all around the church.
Beautiful.
They need setting out and they need lighting. And again, it's a very quick job if about 4 or 5 people can come and do that. So if you've got some time, please come and help because it is just too much for the three of us. And if you can volunteer, just catch one of us to say you're prepared to come. And the thing with the lighting is, I don't want to say too much because it will spoil it, but if you can imagine yourself sitting outside on a nice, beautiful, clear night, that's what this is going to look like on Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. Please come and enjoy it because it is it's amazing. I think that's all.
Perfect. But we also have some important things today. We've got some bands to be read for a wedding that's coming up. So, let me get the bits of paper out. I publish the banns of marriage between Mark Patrick Gibbs of this parish and Bethan Jennings, also of this parish. This is the third time of asking. If any of you know any reason in law why they may not marry each other, you are to declare it. Perfect. So we pray for these couples as they prepare for their wedding. Let us pray. Lord of love, we pray for Mark and Bethan. Be with them in all their preparations and on their wedding day. Give them your love in their hearts throughout their married life together. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And also, as it's the third time, I have a certificate. So would you like to both come out and receive it? And I think it might be nice to give them a little clap as they come forward. Well done. We really wish you a very wonderful day. Where are you getting married?
In Bath.
In Bath. Wonderful. So let's hope the sun shines and
it would be. Like this.
Absolutely. Well, send us some photos. It'd be really nice. Have a joyful day in life together. Perfect. So now we'll take a few moments of quiet to prepare ourselves in God's presence before our service. the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From the one who is, who was, and is to come, grace, mercy, and peace be with you. Well, welcome to this service. Annie will later on be speaking to us on our readings. And in our gospel reading today, we are hearing of John the Baptist speaking to people about how they are to behave and in their preparation for the Messiah's arrival, the one that he is not worthy to untie the sandals of. So I look forward to that later. But first of all, we are going to light our Advent wreath, which is the candle we are lighting today is for John the Baptist. So who would like to come and light our Advent wreath? Fiona, would you like to come and light our Advent wreath for us? Do we have a taper? Thank you. Thank you, Fiona, that's great. We've got three candles. Our first one was for the patriarchs. Our second one and our second week was for the prophets. And today we are lighting our third one for John the Baptist. Yeah, all the purple ones. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, light of the world, John told the people to prepare, for you were very near. As Christmas grows closer day by day, help us to be ready to welcome you now. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Fiona. Please sit or kneel for our prayers of penitence. The prophet Isaiah said, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." And John the Baptist said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So let us turn away from sin and turn to him, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Your Son came as the light of the world, but because we prefer the darkness. Lord, have mercy. Your Son came in humility and vulnerability, but because we prefer power and strength. Christ, have mercy. Your Son came with judgment and mercy, but because we prefer condemnation and selfishness. Lord, have mercy. When the Lord comes, he will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Therefore, in the light of Christ, let us confess our sins. Father eternal, giver of light and grace, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in what we have thought, in what we have said and done, and in the good we have not done, through ignorance, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We have wounded your love and marred your image in us. We are sorry and ashamed, and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and lead us out from darkness to walk as children of light. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We say together the collect on the top of our new sheets. O Lord Jesus Christ, who at your first coming sent your messenger to prepare your way before you, grant that the ministers and stewards of your mysteries may likewise so prepare and make ready your way, by turning the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, that at your second coming to judge the world, we may be found an acceptable people in your sight. For you are alive and reign with the Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please sit for our first reading.
A reading from the book of the prophet Zephaniah. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing, as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast. And I will change the shame, their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you home, at the time when I gathered you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortune before your eyes, says the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Second reading, a reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second hymn is On Our Sheets, Low in the Wilderness, A Voice. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please do be seated. You might have noticed during that last hymn that I snuffed out a purple candle and lit the pink one. Yes, you sat through this sermon in the last church. Never mind.
I know.
Yes. What Sunday is it then today? Apart from John the Baptist. Does anybody know?
Ends with a C, I think. Something like that.
It's Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete Sunday. Which is why we have a rose-coloured candle. In Lent, which is the other period of the Christian year when we fast and we're penitent and it's all quite dark and gloomy, we have the third... Oh, I don't know, it's third or fourth Sunday, which is Mothering Sunday, and we can all relax a little bit and enjoy life. Gaudete Sunday is the equivalent to Mothering Sunday in Advent. So it's a day for rejoicing and for relaxing any observances we might be doing which are perhaps bearing us down at this time of year. So that's why we've lit the pink candle. It's all about rejoicing. Gaudete, rejoicing. Advent speaks to us very clearly about repentance and rejoicing. In our first reading, the prophet Zephaniah shouts for joy. "Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem." It's because the King of Israel is in her midst. Paul echoes this incitement with his exclamation, "Rejoice always." And then in our gospel reading, John the Baptist invites us to make a straight path to God and to rejoice because Jesus is at hand. So including today, there are 9 shopping days left until Christmas, and I wonder, are repentance and rejoicing on your list? Advent is a season of waiting and expectation in preparation for the coming of the Lord. We know that Jesus the Christ will be born very soon, and so certainly there is need to rejoice. But often true rejoicing can only come after some repentance. In our gospel reading, there comes the straight-talking prophet John the Baptist. He's shouting at those who came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers." Didn't sound like he's doing much rejoicing, really. But after this outburst, John continues his theme of repentance. He tells the crowd not to take for granted their status as children of Abraham, as a guarantee of salvation. He tells them that they need to bear fruits from repentance. He warns them that an axe is waiting by the roots of the tree, should no fruit be born. It's not who they are or who their ancestor was. It is what they do that is most important. One might have thought that those who came and shouted at, who were shouted at, would turn around and leave, but they didn't. John may sound particularly harsh to us, but people who were there probably felt his sincerity, telling the truth with his love and his genuine concern for the people. These people not only don't leave, but rather they stay and ask John for an alternative. What then should we do? A true wish to repent, to get into action so as to turn from their old ways of life. John knows the Messiah is coming soon, and he feels the urgency and wants to give people the time to be prepared and to bear fruit. And so he gives them advice. John, I believe, is doing more than prophetically scolding them, let alone threatening these people. Something that becomes clearer as he follows up his very harsh warning with fairly pragmatic instruction. He tells the crowds, who themselves are probably pretty poor, that if they have more than one coat, they should share it with someone who has none. He tells the tax collectors working for Rome not to take more than is fair. And he tells mercenary soldiers not to threaten or extort others and to be satisfied with their wages. What I find extraordinary about this is how mundane, if not downright obvious, John's admonition proves. I mean, it's not rocket science. Indeed, it is the logic of the classroom and playground that most of us first heard in primary school. Share. Be fair. Don't bully. But if somewhat obvious, it is at least also within their reach. John doesn't tell the crowd to join him out in the wilderness. He doesn't ask tax collectors to abandon or betray Rome, and he doesn't urge soldiers to a life of pacifism. Instead, he points them to the very places in which they already live and work, love and laugh, struggle and strive, and suggests that these places are precisely where God calls them to be, where God is at work in them and through them for the sake of the world. John the Baptist is teaching them to care for those in need, to seek justice, and to have integrity. All of those things that we already know as part of what following Jesus is all about. This simple message speaks to us as well. There are too many complacent Christians. Christians who claim the faith of Jesus and think that it's enough to go through the motion of being a Christian. Thinking that because we have accepted Christ, we are part somehow of God's A-list. But John the Baptist says no. That's not enough. It's not enough for us to claim our place in the body of Christ and let his children go hungry or naked. It isn't enough for us to boast membership in the family of Christ, the church, and not treat all of our brothers and sisters with due respect and fairness. It isn't enough for us to lift up the Holy Scriptures as our model for holy living and not see Christ dwelling in all of God's children or see God in all of his creation. All of those things distract us from living Christ-like lives and separates us from God. John's message exhorts us to let go of everything that hinders our relationship with God. Let go of our selfish desires and our personal hang-ups. Put aside our gripes and disagreements and turn back towards God. Simple instructions, and yet so complicated world this is that we find it really very difficult. But that is exactly the point. It may not be much. We may not make the daily news, but even through the simple things that we do, we can still make a difference. John the Baptist is preaching in the wilderness, a place where one may get lost, a barren place that seems bereft of life or hope. I think wilderness is a good metaphor for us right now. We are in a world bombarded by media, especially social media. We can keep up with the news stories anywhere and everywhere, and at any time of day or night, not just on television and radio, but on any number of handheld devices, as our phones now appear to be called. We're certainly bewildered by news and fake news, truth and alternate truth. There seems to be no peace in the world. Natural disasters seem to be occurring more often than usual. And frankly, if I hear just one more argument about Brexit, well, what can I say? Hope seems to be dwindling in our world. So as Christians, we seriously need to ask the question, what should we do? There are so many places, locally, with friends, neighbours, and especially strangers, so many opportunities where you have a chance to live out your faith here and now, amid a culture that, without a doubt, favours indulgence over compassion and self-expression over sacrifice, but that nevertheless provides countless opportunities to witness to God's commitment to meet us where we are, accept us as we are, and make good use of us to care for those around us. We should carry the prophetic voice of John the Baptist, calling out to the brood of vipers for true repentance. We should change our way of life. The gap between the haves and have-nots is increasing in society. Are we willing to share with those who have less? John the Baptist has given us the direction to be prepared for the coming of Christ. Are we willing to turn around? Are we courageous enough to hear and heed his prophetic voice? It is the end of John's exhortation that gives us hope. When the crowd thought John might be the Messiah, he told them that he was not. For the one who is more powerful is coming to baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. John is not talking about hell here. He is using imagery from the harvest, imagery that would have been very familiar to his audience. A winnowing fork separates the wheat from the chaff and the other weeds that were collected, and they are thrown into the fire to be burned. But fire purifies, fire cleanses, fire renews. Fire destroys the bad stuff and allows the fresh new growth. This is an Advent message. It looks forward to the coming Messiah. For the crowd listening to John that day, it meant that the great ministry of Jesus was about to begin, and as his forerunner, John was setting the stage. For us, we look forward to Christ coming again, with hope for the peace and joy that is to come. But in the meantime, the gospel reminds us that we need to do right by each other. We can always be doing better than we are already doing. Listen to the voice crying in the wilderness. Let us prepare the way of the Lord by turning ourselves again towards God and being bearers of good fruit. And in doing so, then we can truly rejoice. Amen.
Let us stand to affirm our faith in God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please sit or kneel for our prayers of intercession.
God with us. In this Advent season of longing and waiting, bear with us a little longer. Be patient with our impatience. You have journeyed alongside us from the beginning of time, yet still we miss the signs of your presence. When we are blinded by the brashness of this season, open our eyes to the glimpses of your glory. When we want simple answers, open our minds to the hints of incarnation. When we are deafened by our own shouting, open our ears to the whispers of your grace. May we share with you in longing for restoration and renewal, and may we be watchful for the light that breaks through in the darkness of our world. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of the waiting, give us courage to wait with those in the most broken places of the world, and with those who struggle to be bearers of hope there. We pray with those who wait for wars to stop, for violence to cease. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of the waiting, turn conflict into peace. We pray for those who have given up on the coming of hope because they feel they wait in vain at checkpoints, at borders, for jobs, for food, and for those whose lives are crushed under the structures and systems of injustice. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of the waiting, wait with your world. Turn anger into reconciliation and our lack of hope into courage, so that our waiting may be over and all the things of darkness shall be no more. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour,
Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand for the peace. In the tender mercy of our God, the day spring from on high shall break upon us to give light to those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us offer one another a sign of peace. We will now sing our third hymn, hymn number 607, in our books. Yours, Lord, is the greatness, The power, the glory, the splendor, and the majesty. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. All things come from you, and of your own do we give you. When we come to the sharing of the bread this morning and to receive the communion, this is quite new for us coming in this circle. We've done it a few times, but we will distribute in front of the altar so people can come around, maybe go around the backs of their chairs first to come through and then down and back around. You will see how it flows. Make way for each other. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is indeed right and good to give you thanks and praise, Almighty God and everlasting Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, for when he humbled himself to come among us in human flesh, he fulfilled the plan you formed before the foundation of the world, to open for us the way of salvation. Confident that your promise will be fulfilled, we now watch for the day when Christ our Lord will come again in glory. And so we join our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven to proclaim your glory, forever praising you and singing. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me." Praise to you, Lord Jesus. Dying, you destroyed our faith. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever through Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. Most merciful Lord, your love compels us to come in. Our hands were unclean, our hearts were unprepared. We were not ready to eat the crumbs from under your table. But you, Lord, are the God of our salvation, and share your bread with sinners. So cleanse and feed us with the precious body and blood of your Son, that he may live in us and we in him, and that we, with the whole company of Christ, may sit and eat in your kingdom. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O Lord, for these heavenly gifts. Kindle in us the fire of your Spirit, that when your Christ comes again, we may shine as lights before his face, who is alive and reigns now and forever. Amen. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise, that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you, scatter the darkness from before your path, and make you ready to meet him when he comes in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Come now to our final hymn, hymn number 27. To love and serve the Lord.
if you come over, 2 o'clock, I hope to start with 164. But I'm starting to down it.
I'll give you a hand, I don't mind.
It's just really good. We advertised it on Christmas Eve and nobody offered help.
Yeah.
And I said, Annie, it's good, people are busy, so we put it into Sunday. And I said, Annie, I'm quite happy to do the service, we'll have a sandwich at 1 o'clock and then start at 2.
Well, I'm happy to help at 2 o'clock.
But that means, you know, you might be able to pop home at about. Bring something to eat though, because
Okay, because I'll do that. I will be going. Cool. Okay.